our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor on this Ask the Mayor every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock following Tim Root's forecast. And then after the recording, it's on WHLC.com. And there's a mystery guest waiting behind door number one there. And good morning, Mayor Taylor.
Good morning, Stephen. Today I want to really be upbeat. So many of our civic organizations and nonprofits have found ways to move forward with their programming. This past week, I had the honor of signing a proclamation concerning Constitution Week, and I've invited Marsha Moxley of the DAR to come in and talk with you about the celebration of this important week in the life of America.
Well, let's open the door and bring in Marsha Moxley, the Daughters of American Revolution.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing wonderfully. Thank you. And with this being the official start date on September 17th, what is a proclamation that the mayor signed? Tell us all about your involvement with the Daughters of American Revolution. Exciting. I'm going to bring the microphone a little closer to you.
Well, a proclamation is a official announcement, and our mayor in Highlands signed it on the 9th of September, claiming that Constitution Week will be celebrated the 17th through the 23rd of September, as it is annually every year. And it gets kicked off on the 17th, and officially this year it kicks off at 4 p.m. So listen for bells to ring, maybe, perhaps.
And that's what you wanted to stress, that you have reached out to everybody. Would you do that?
Fire departments, police stations, churches, and I will be making sure I contact all of them so they all do it at the same time throughout Macon County.
In 1955, President General of the Daughters of American Revolution, Gertrude S. Carraway, adopted a project. And tell us about the DAR and how it really got active with the Constitution.
As a daughter of the American Revolution, we're very proud of our heritage, and our main mission and focus is to be very patriotic as well as helping our veterans. We are very involved in Reeve Across America and Constitution Week and a lot of other civic activities. If I've got young students out there, we even provide scholarships. So there's a bunch of things that we do. When it was declared, is there even a place where the Constitution resides? And yes, the DAR does have a Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. So if you ever go, you are welcome to go in. It is a wonderful place and has a lot of information there for you.
Dwight D. Eisenhower, the United States government began to observe Constitution Week August 2nd, 1956. And away we went. The Constitution is our foundation.
And it is the shortest and the oldest of all constitutions ever written, and it is still relevant today, 233 years later. Wow, if you think about that, look at a true testament and foresight of our founding fathers for the future that we have that still exists today for us.
You mentioned the DAR and the Battle of Sugartown. Is that what you're a member of?
Yes, sir. The chapter that I am, it resides in Franklin, and it is the last battle of the Revolution, Battle of Sugartown. Yes.
Now, this proclamation, would you read a little bit of the proclamation that the mayor signed for you?
I absolutely will.
Go ahead.
Whereas it is fitting and proper, according to the official recognition of this magnificent document, its memorial anniversary and the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate the occasion. Whereas public law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each week during Constitution Week, which again I will reinforce is September 17th through 23rd.
And once again, September 17th at 4 p.m., all ring our bells to honor that. We've been speaking with Marsha Moxley, a special guest of our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor, Daughters of the American Revolution and the Battle of Sugartown. Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you.
And our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor, well, let's get into the town business, and there are a lot of events that are happening still.
For example, there will be an event that is sponsored by the Highlands Motoring Festival this morning at the Kelsey Hutchinson Park. It is not open to the public. It's a private event. Steve Mader and Steve Helm and all the organizers of the Highlands Motoring Festival that normally occurs in June, they had to, of course, cancel that event. And they came up with a creative way to raise money for the nonprofits that they support. And those nonprofits are the Care Clinic, the Reach Organization, and the Literacy Council. Instead of having the traditional motoring festival event where so many people come on Saturdays, they created a motoring event where the people that have these beautiful cars would sign up, pay an entry fee, and then they've been having kind of small motoring rallies or tours during the weekend. And I'm sure some of the folks that are listening today saw some very beautiful cars driving around on the plateau. And they will be having kind of a culminating event, doing all the social distancing and limiting access and everything to the park. But it's all for a good cause for these nonprofits. I want to give a shout out to them, and I want to say one other thing. Anyone can donate to the Highlands Motoring Festival to help them increase the amount of money they'll be giving to these nonprofits. On Friday, I did that by simply Googling the Highlands Motoring Festival. Keep scrolling down. There's a button to donate. All that money goes to really very good causes that benefit people here on the plateau.
This is the September 13th on Sunday, our Thursday meeting for the town board on the 17th. You can go in to the community building or you can Zoom. So, and then we have a lot of things to cover, like the fire department, et cetera, et cetera.
With the 2.5 governor's order, where we can have 25 people meeting indoors, plus we could increase that if it's a government function. I've been talking with the board members and the staff, and it's time for us to go back to a more in-person meeting. I did that last month by being at the conference center at 7 o'clock on Thursday, and I Zoomed from there with the idea anyone could have walked in and sat down and listened to my Zooming and been a part of that. We're going to do the same thing this time. I know that there'll be a number of our town commissioners will be there, just as if it's a regular board meeting, but they will be Zooming. So if you don't feel comfortable coming to the meeting, you can continue to access what's going on by way of Zoom. But if you would like to come to this meeting, you're welcome to do so as long as you do two things. Wear a mask, and then we will have the chairs and seating set up where it'll be social distancing. We did that because we will be having a public hearing on the rezoning of the property on US 64 that would rezone it to government institutional so we can construct the fire department on that site. So we will be having I anticipate a lively discussion concerning access to water and sewer for the hospital and the planned employee housing project that Commissioner Haim and Tom Neal of the hospital presented at our last month's meeting. I'm glad that we have this in-person option for those people that would like to come and just see what's happening at the meeting in real time. And of course, we'll have the information on our website for people to do the Zoom option too.
And you are getting serious about do not feed the bears.
That is an ordinance that we've drafted. Our Bear and Wildlife Committee met. It's about not feeding the bears. And I hope that the town board will take action on that at this meeting.
Saw some people walking around with Josh Ward, the comprehensive planning, and then you're not just going to do this for government, but this is a stakeholder thing, you know, people.
Thursday afternoon, the Stewart Company, who will be actually guiding the town through the comprehensive planning process, met with several staff members and folks at the Recreation Department. At that meeting, we had Brad Armstrong, who is the chair of the planning board, the town manager, Josh Ward, myself, and Lamar Nix of Public Works, and the representatives of the Stewart Company were there. The real important thing to me was that it wasn't just one or two people. They bring in a whole cadre of experts in things like transportation, housing, town design and layout, all of the things that go into a comprehensive plan. They ask us questions about what we wanted in a plan and so forth. And one of the things that I really emphasized was that I even felt kind of uncomfortable being at this orientation meeting because I don't want the public to think this is a top-down elected officials driving this. That's not the way this is supposed to work. It needs to be a grassroots process where the residents and the citizens, the business community have input. The staff of the Stewart Company will be requesting to meet with different stakeholder groups and get their feedback on certain issues that are relevant to the comprehensive plan. The elected officials like myself will have some input, but we'll be in the back. We want the citizens to be in the front leading this process. My request is that if someone from the planning department in Highlands, or someone from the Stewart Company who will be leading this process contacts you to attend a meeting or two, be willing to give some time and input to this process, because it's very critical that we get a cross-section of input from all the stakeholders in Highlands, and just not a very narrow focus type of experience. After the meeting, I talked with Brad Armstrong, and he said, you know, the benefit is this is what these professionals do, and they have the perspective from other communities that have gone through this process that they can share with our citizens as we develop this comprehensive plan.
Now, you have brought this up so many times, especially we have had a lot of rain, especially like every day. We had 0.8 of an inch of rain on Thursday, and I was driving by the Wells Hotel, and that was like a flood. And so the DOT is working on fixing that little runoff there, and that really posed a problem.
I believe it was on Tuesday morning. I was going to town hall, and I saw several people in those orange vests standing there with notepads and discussing, making the final plans to start construction on the drainage problem that we have there. The DOT, Macon County Division, will be actually doing the installation work to control the draining, and the town officials like Lamar Nix will be working very closely with them in how that is executed. So expect delays in the next few days when they start actually having to do the installation of the new drainage system.
Be talking about the broadband. Are they ready to go within a few weeks?
We're hoping that sometimes before the end of this month or at the 1st of October, that those kind of activities are completed. And then the next part of the installation would be where they actually start splicing the fiber connections together to complete the network, which will be into late fall.
And you wanted to talk about the Rotary Club and the state treasurer. Our state treasurer spoke.
Yes, I had the honor of introducing State Treasurer Falwell at the Rotary Club Zoom meeting last Tuesday. He was the guest speaker. One of the things that I know the treasurer had done since he was sworn in 2017, because I went to Raleigh and heard him speak, the pension systems for the state employees and to some extent the municipal workers that we have was underfunded, and he was very concerned about that. Since then, he's taken some very austere measures to bring those fund levels up to where they will be strong to fund the systems into the future, which meant that the town had to pay more into the system. But the solvency issue has been resolved. The ratings of an independent agency on our pension funds now, we're one of the strongest in the United States. So I was really gratified to hear that he had taken a leadership role in making sure that these funds are solvent. As we go into the next year, and you know, all the states are very concerned about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on their revenues and how they will have to fund operations. Our state has a AAA rating on bonds, and it's very strong because we do have strong reserves available to address some of the shortfalls that the state treasurer anticipates as we move through this whole pandemic issue. He also pointed out that most towns have about a 25% reserve fund on average to operate. To the treasurer's credit, he had looked up the reserve fund status for the town of Highlands and said, congratulations, your 54% reserve funds are really exceptional, and I wish all the towns and municipalities had those kind of resources. But I was very impressed that the treasurer, who actually rides motorcycles, was very aware of the town of Highlands, and I think he cruises through here from time to time. I asked the treasurer in the Q&A, what about the DOT? You know, I've been saying it's broken, and it's going to take some time to fix it. And the treasurer concurred that they're broke. And he was pointing out there's some fundamental operation issues that need to be addressed so the DOT doesn't get into another situation where they no longer have any money to pave the roads. They just simply overspent their budget, coupled with some unanticipated loss of revenue with the COVID situation. And there was a dip in motor fuel tax. So it was kind of a perfect storm for the problems that we're now seeing at DOT.
We have planned very well, and that leads us into the final topic. There's an opening on the planning board, and so come one, come all.
If anyone would like to be considered for the planning board, you can go on our website and download the form, or you can call the town office and we can mail you that form, or you can come in and pick it up. Anyone to be considered, there is a brief form that we ask people to fill out. If you fill this form out, it is not a public discussion of your qualifications or anything, but the staff and everybody processes that to make sure that the folks that we do get on these boards are very qualified and meet certain things like residency requirements.
Speaking with our Ottawa Mayor, Patrick Taylor, and once again, thank you for bringing in special guest Marsha Moxley, the Daughters of the American Revolution. And don't forget, September 17th, a very special day as it kicks off a week of the Constitution.
And that's right. And I will say this, and we just haven't had time to really discuss it, but keep in mind, we're about to celebrate the Dahlia Festival, which is a very innovative type of event this year, where you'll see beautiful flowers throughout the entire community. We will be having the Empty Bowl event coming up. Keep up with all the events that are happening in our newspaper. We've had to modify some of these events and change, and that's unfortunate in some ways, but in many ways, it's caused people to rethink what is going on, and they come up with some very creative ways to move forward.
If you'll allow me for a moment there, I had a vision of Buck Trot talking about how great this town is, and I think he'd be very proud of how you are putting in the business of Highlands and also the great fun that we have.
That's right. We do have a town that has great businesses, but we also have people that care about each other in the community, and you see that manifested in all of the nonprofit activities and civic organizations that we have.